Dr. Dan Slaughter, nice enough to come in and join us from Sinus and Snoring Specialist. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for everything you did for me yesterday, obviously. And we wanted to have you on to kind of talk about what you guys do. Let's talk about my situation and we'll kind of expand out. I had the balloon sinuplasty done. Now, as far as sinus surgeries, is this cutting edge as it gets in your world?
Yeah, it's not even a surgery. That's what's nice. So I'm old. I've been doing this for a long time, 23 years, and we only had an option of surgery if medical therapy failed. And now, rather than surgery, you know, that's like an hour or something long procedure, general anesthetic, bunch of recovery. Now, just in the office with a little margarita, kind of the drugs you had yesterday.
It's a good way to describe it.
Man. Yeah. Just a little.
Where's this place again?
Yeah, Don Julio. we put a little balloon, basically borrowing from our cardiology colleagues. Why remove a bunch of stuff? Why not just put the balloon where it wants to drain, expand the balloon, which opens up the natural outflow tract. It just unplugs the plumbing, allows things to drain naturally. And then, you know, some good medical therapy will then work. And if you know, a person with chronic sinus condition, congestion, headaches, recurring sinus infections, it'll fix it. I mean, it has about a 98% cure rate.
Oh, man.
And that's fix it for good.
For good. We've got studies now going out 10 years.
Wow.
Really fancy stuff. It remodels it, basically. So people with nice, big, open outflow tracts don't have sinus problems. That's me. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. People with little narrow ones, they have a bunch of problems. And this is an easy way to fix it.
When did this start, this technology of using the balloons for this?
That's kind of fun, too. A number of years ago, everybody started to get into the idea of using them. In fact, there was a balloon that was popular, a balloon called the Finesse balloon, but it was a piece of junk. It really didn't work. So I helped modify that balloon and basically helped develop the prototype that became the balloon we use today, and we even participated in the FDA studies in Houston to get it approved. So, you know, there's a lot of people that still need to learn how to use it. It is relatively new technology, but sinus surgery is a thing of the past. If someone's telling you need sinus surgery, you need to look around.
Okay.
And Sinus and Snoring Specialist, it's sinussnoringent.com, or you can call them at 512-601-0303. You go in. The thing I loved about it was so personalized. Tell them about this sleep study that you do in a way. People, I think, freak out about, I'm going to have to go in a lab, and they're going to hook stuff up to me. I did this sleep thing at home, and it was so easy. Describe it to the people.
Yeah, that's the big thing. If you're a snorer, there's two reasons why you haven't had it fixed. Number one, I'm not going to that lab, okay? I'm just not going to do that. Yeah. And the other is I'm not wearing that mask. So even if it's positive, I'm not going to do it. So you just sit there next to your bed partner, pissing them off every night. So what the technology, you know, just like your cell phone, everything's gotten better. So there is a very sophisticated device. We have them in our office. When you see me, the same day you see me, we give you that device, and you can be tested in your own bed that evening. It only takes a couple of minutes to put it on. It's not cumbersome. You can sleep in any position. You can, you know, get up and use the restroom. It just keeps recording. In the morning, you wake up, you take it off, and you go about your day. You just drop it off at the office. We can download it. We read that really sophisticated data, and we can tell, do you just have snoring, or do you have sleep apnea? How severe is that apnea? And then we can tailor, easy way to say it is, we have to throw enough cure at the problem. And so it tells me how big the problem is.
Yeah, it was really easy to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had allergy problems here in Austin. It seems like Austin stands out from other cities of the percentage of people that have allergies. How do you deal with that? Do you test for that? And obviously clearing out my nasals would help out, but is there anything else you can do?
Yeah, and we talk to our patients all the time about this. I'll see people, they say, I've been on shots for 6 years, I'm not better. Well, first off, we need to make sure the structure's normal. So a really good evaluation. We have a little video nasal endoscope. We've got a mini CT scan in the office. You know, I've been on allergy shots for 6 years. They're not working. What's your complaint? I can't breathe. And then I look in their nose and the septum is totally pushed up against the sidewall of the nose. There was no amount of allergy therapy that was ever going to make that better. It was a structural issue. If your structure's fine, what you really have is two options for allergy. What you're doing, which is tons of medicine, Claritin and Flonase, and that's letting you have the allergy and then treating it after the fact. The better way to do it is to block it from occurring in the first place. That's what allergy drops do. That's what we do. So we do skin testing in the office. That's done without needles. It doesn't hurt. We'll know specifically what you're allergic to. we formulate a little vial of the allergens that bug you. They're customized for you. Putting them under your tongue every day basically pisses your immune system off and makes you develop blocking antibodies. Those antibodies will block the allergic reaction before it occurs. So now cedar season's approaching against the next year. I've been on my drops. I'm outside and it's not really bugging me. And that's because the allergic reaction isn't allowed to occur.
So for my personal situation, I've always been told my whole life it was mountain cedar. That's all I was ever told. They can test for, is it about 50 at one time?
Yes.
And
yeah.
He's right. Didn't hurt. I don't freak out about needles, but, you know, it's a needle, it's a needle. This is not needles. It kind of felt like a massage to me. I told you that.
Yeah.
And they came back and she said, I'm only seeing one thing, mountain cedar. So what I was told when I was 5, 6, 7 years old was still true.
Good doctor.
Yeah. Good doctor back then and then good techniques now. And they said, okay, so what we can do is formulate these drops. She also suggested maybe put in some mold in there because of all the different molds that we have in the area. So then once I start taking these drops, then so you take the drops for a while, and then eventually you don't need the sinus medication and you don't need the drops?
Yeah, that's the right way to think about it. So usually within about 6 months, your antibodies are making you so asymptomatic that you don't really feel like you need the Flonase, Claritin, Zyrtec anymore. And then around 2 to 3 years, depending upon how allergic you are, the body's basically learned its lesson. And you don't have to keep using the drops. It'll keep producing the antibodies. So around about 3 years, you don't need anything. You don't need medicine. You know, and, you know, it's kind of like shots do, except for shots are a hassle. And going to the doctor's office and getting a shot's a hassle. And one thing that's important.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I feel like half my life is trying to deal with that.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm in the right city for this issue.
Oh, you are. Yeah, you are. That's perfect. So,
by the way, that's going to be my book. Pissing off my immune system. I'm going to title it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Perfect.
I've TM'd that already.
Yeah, okay, all right.
We'll talk
money after.
That's right. Dr. Dan Slaughter in studio with us from Sinus and Snoring Specialists. So my situation, when you look, because I remember the other thing I liked is you were able to show me with a little camera up into my nostrils and show me how blocked it was. And I was about 85% blocked, about 15% of airflow, you know, capacity. What you saw in me, pretty normal? Do you think a lot of people are dealing with what I was dealing with?
Yeah, a lot of people snore. A lot of people have mild obstructive sleep apnea. A lot of people have nasal blockage. This is what's kind of fun about the practice we set up. We looked at a situation where these are super common problems, allergies, sinus issues, snoring and sleep apnea, but there wasn't one easy place to go to that had all the stuff in one location to get it fixed. So even the device I used to look in your nose, that's a high-definition video nasal endoscope, painless, and that's a prototype. I'm the guy that came up with that. So it enables me to be able to show patients on the spot what the story is inside their nose. That, along with a little mini CT scan, let me look around the corner into the sinus cavities.
Right.
For the people that have your type of complaint, that's what we expect to see. And then, of course, we've got a good game plan for
God, that was the moment for me, man. When the technology showed me that, I thought, wait a minute, that's how I'm breathing? Through my nose? Because then right after that, as I'm working out, I thought, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm blowing out through my mouth, I'm feeling that's at 100%, but now that I think about it, as I'm going in through my nose and I'm not feeling like I'm stuffed up or anything, I'm not really taking in as much air as I should. I never realized, but when you put that in my brain, I went, oh my God, there it is.
Right. Yeah. And we always tell everybody, okay, so people present for snoring, for example, that might be why they come, but really there's a win-win, because what you don't know is that your exercise tolerance during the day, your ability to breathe through your nose clearly on demand when you're running, all that stuff's limited. You force yourself into mouth breathing, and the lungs hate air that's unhumidified, unfiltered, and unwarmed. So it reduces your oxygen exchange, increases your respiratory rate, makes you feel out of breath. So you go in to kind of, you know, make the bed partner happy, but in the end, you know, your run's better, your sports are better, things like that.
But I wonder how many marriages you've saved.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You should get a total on that. Put it up there.
More
like
than
a running
Phil,
list.
For sure.
Yeah, right. I think you're definitely going to get a thank you card from my wife at some point. And by the way, Kevin, you'll appreciate this. While I was in there for that first check, he had gone through, we'd seen the inside of the nose, and then he looks at me and he says, what really only a doctor should be able to say to you, because it's rude in other situations. He looked at me and he said, oh, I can see right now you're a mouth breather. And I thought, well, that's kind of – oh, he means technically. Okay, all right. He means technically. But I never thought
about
it. That's
not a good pickup line, kiddos, if you're out there.
I never thought about it, but as he said it and as I'm driving away, I'm thinking, man, you're – yeah, it was a very – it's going to end up being a sinus-opening experience, but it was an eye-opener there because it got me thinking along that track.
I think the other thing, though, too, with all of it, whether it's sleep apnea or the allergies that you and I deal with, that it's also – you may be able to sleep, but how good is that sleep and how does that – affect you the rest of the day?
There's this thing called deep sleep. Us medicine geeks call it slow wave sleep and REM sleep, but it's the time of restoration. So it allows you to mentally and physically repair, and without it, you'll power through it, but let's face it, you end up being grumpier and your work maybe isn't quite as good and you get cloudy brain and you don't focus. And then, honestly, even with mild obstructive sleep apnea, there's other stuff. You'll get hypertension, you'll get fat. It actually makes you get belly fat.
Really?
And neck fat. Yeah.
That's what I'm blaming it on now.
Me too.
That's it.
Creates type 2 diabetes, there's a laundry list of things you don't want. So I'll tell patients all the time, it's a typical, 40-year-old guy, and I'll say, you're going to end up as a 55-year-old fat man with a lot of medicines. And, unless we can stop the cycle, it's going the wrong direction.
Yeah. Well, so glad you were able to come in today. Again, sinussnoringent.com, or you can just call the office, 512-601-0303. Today was the day after my procedure. They called me on the phone today. Erica called me up, even after we talked about her on the air. Erica called me up.
Nothing but good things.
Nothing but good things. And by the way, for the record, Dr. Slaughter, tell the good people that are listening, did I do or say anything embarrassing while I was under, sedation?
Be honest.
Yeah. I mean, afterwards, you were kind of the stumbling drunk guy, like most people are, asking the same question over and over again.
Now, what was the question?
Is it done? Is it done? Where's Erica's belly?
Where's Erica's belly? I didn't say that. Did I?
Yeah, and the only other thing you told me was your ATM password, last four of your social, and your mother's maiden name.
Oh, no. What's my mother's maiden name?
I don't say that.
Well, he's a good guy.
All right. See, he's a good guy. He's not gonna say.
Doctor patient privilege.
There you go. I didn't do too much crazy. Well, again, thank you for coming in, and we will definitely trust me. I'll be spreading the word about sinus and snoring specialists. Great. Please consider it if you are snoring. You might have sleep apnea. If your partner's just shoving on you all night and saying roll over, this is the place that can help you out. 601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.